Thank you for your Western attire today. Some of us don't even have Western attire right here, but that's all right. Because today we begin this discussion about moving off the map and going downstairs after church. We'll be asking you to jump right into that. Jump into where the search committee is, as they're getting very close now to begin the search process for a new pastor. And my task then, as I said in the announcement time, is to help us all explore what directions do we need to take? What kind of church do we need to be? And if there's ever a great example of that, it seems to be this son that we call the prodigal that took off. I'm wondering which hat he would have chosen if he was at a time of the Western attire. I'm kind of thinking he would have chosen this hat. It's what? A party hat? A take-off hat? Because he went to party. Now I'm kind of thinking that his brother probably wore a hat like this. You know, a little bit more conservative. If he was a Western, and this was a Western climate. And then I'm thinking the father would have, you know, had this mature-looking hat. Seems to have more wisdom to it some way. I'm not sure. Maybe you have a different opinion. But let's see who we need to jump into these characters today. Because you've heard so many sermons, I would expect. Anybody never heard a sermon before on the prodigal son? Even though it comes up once every 3 years in the scriptures, I think it comes up far more often in the preacher's usage, an example. And sometimes the pastor focuses on the son that took off. And sometimes that sermon is about the forgiving father. And we always ask, is that forgiving father an example of God, our heavenly father? And sometimes then, it's about the brother who had been done everything right, stayed there, worked hard for his father, probably helped keep the hard statement, the slaves, intact. So today, as we talk about moving off the map, I want us to utilize this for the directions that it gives us. And look at some of the words in this. The prodigal son, it's out of hunger and loneliness and desperation that he's willing to confess to his father and work for the similar work to the slaves. I just want to go back to that confession. Is such an important part of my life. And as the Disciples of Christ Camp Christian, I may still go on today, but when the youth came to camp every summer, the high school youth, they'll stand up on the benches. Now, these are benches without backs, but go around the tables for dinner tables and lunch and breakfast tables. And they'll stand on those benches. They'll join hands together or put their arms around each other, and they'll sing the confession of the prodigal son. They sing, I shall arise and go unto my father. I shall say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. They'll sing it once, they'll sing it twice, they'll sing it for 15 or 20 minutes till they get hungry. On top of those benches, they learn the message of the young one who took off and took his inheritance and wasted it away. So how does the church reach this person today, and who is that person? How do we go about, like the Father, as we look at all those who've left the church, starting with the baby boomers generation, the countercultural generation? I think there's a few of us here that are a part of the baby boomer generation. Anybody here claim to be baby boomer generation? That's a good amount, really. Because after the church grew in the 50s and the 60s and reached its peak, who was the generation who abandoned the church and said, we're not going there anymore, it's too institutional? It was the baby boomers. When I went to become a clergy and others my age, we were such a small percentage of our generation, our countercultural friends who were willing to look at the church. We're thankful for those who are here who are willing to do that and remain or later decide to come back. So we were the first ones of this era to be in a way like the prodigal son. There are other generations that now are still not part of the church. Just think of this. If the countercultural generation left the institutional church, its children know very little about the Bible, about Jesus, about God. They'll claim quite often to be Christians. They'll claim that they're going to heaven. 94% of us, I think, claim that. But that's about it. And yes, that mega church has brought some of that younger generation into it, but it's still such a small percentage. So that prodigalism out there is still there. So how do we become wise enough, excited enough, thinking strategically enough to go out and decide what's the fatted calf we have to kill, to bring them in, to attract people to Jesus? What kind of music and dancing? No, the prodigal son parable talks about music and dancing. So how do we reach people with that? Do we become like the Shakers? That seemed to work a little bit in their time. The dancing. Do we have to go? Is it Happy Trails? I think we can ask our youth this morning. Did that do it? It reached us, perhaps. But Happy Trails, they didn't even know. Would it excite them? I mean, just because it excites us, excites me. I'm still thinking of Roy Rogers and riding, what's the name of his horse? Trigger. Riding Trigger and then stuffing Trigger when Trigger got old and died. I remember seeing Trigger down here at the Coliseum in Columbus or somewhere down there. So how do we make that change? And what are we willing to do? And there's another one in this passage, this parable. It's the one who raises his emotion, is so angry. Father, I have been so dedicated to you, but yet you've never given me even a goat to have a party. And for him, you've killed the fatted calf. There's always some of that around. And that's the same one also who will most likely not be in our church today, because anger overwhelms and dominates them, just as rage seems to. Rage is such an important part of our culture. Thought it was fascinating driving down the road right inside the city of Lancaster the other day. I knew I was making a turn. Anyway, whatever I did, some guy coming the other way stopped his car, rolled down his window, and cussed me out real good. I'm sitting there, wow. Rage is here. It reminded me of that. It reminded me that we have so many prodigal sons who just aren't out there to want to dance and have music and drink and get into drugs, but there's an anger behind so many. And the church then is also opposite of that, but still often angry people in the church who are mad at all of that in the world. So how do we go about change? We have to look back at our history and look at today. As we talked about that generation, the baby boomers, I have to also add the Beatles to the conversation. Not the ones that crawl and fly around here, but the ones who sang. I was going, when the Rock Hall of Fame, the Rock Hall Museum first came to Cleveland, I was living up there, and of course we had to go. And we were in there touring it, and it just guides you right through. And then we had to climb this set of kind of windy steps, and we get up to the top, and you climb, it's almost like a steeple, and we're up there, and it's John Lennon and his story and his song, Imagine. And I've always loved John Lennon and Imagine. Perhaps you have too. But we have to remember also that John Lennon declared that the Beatles were more popular than Jesus. And that created quite a conflict. And he was. The Beatles were more popular than Jesus for 7 days or something. But in latter years, since the web and internet came out, Google actually calculated that John Lennon and the Beatles get more hits on websites and search for them than Jesus does. So if we believe in the internet problem as well as what the internet does good for us, we know that the prodigal son is out here. John Lennon's song. Oh, here's a statement first. The devil may have the best tunes, but Jesus is back on top of the stats just a few days later. That's when John Lennon originally stated. But here's John Lennon's song. Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us, above us, only sky. Imagine all the people living for today. Imagine there's no countries. It isn't hard to do nothing to kill or die for, and no religion too. Imagine all the people living life in peace. We'll leave that, the rest of the verses, right there. The church has had 2,000 years to figure out who the prodigal son is and how we go out and serve that person or that woman and bring them back. How do we take the Prince of Peace and bring it to the world? How have we done? Today, we've also not just left the counterculture and these other generations coming, but there's also another part of either it's part of the fundamental church or not part at all, and usually it's mostly not part at all, and that's the poverty. And so one of the things we have to do is we have to figure out a way to relate to that generation. Our legislature, Congress, United States Congress, House, just passed that bill last week that would kill the SNAP program, Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. You probably don't know that program. You know it as something else. You know it as food stamps. So I only know the West Virginia stats on that. An estimated 116,622 households in West Virginia received food stamps. And it was going to, if that cut goes through, who's it going to impact the most? The 60-year-olds and up, and the children. And the children. But yet, what has the church done to allow that to happen in our world? Let me say unto you also that I still, with my West Virginia ties and work, I'll be interviewed on a Huntington radio station tomorrow about that issue. What happens to us? One of the things we've got to figure out is how we as the church jump into those kind of matters. And how can it be that we are not thinking politics first and Christian second, but we're thinking first, follow Jesus, and politics second. And we've lost that in our world. I thought this Jeremiah passage was so powerful that we put in your bulletin today. I hope you'll take it home and read it. It's about someone who's lost it all, and my heart is sick with that great question that there we sing hymns about. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no healing in the world, in God's world? Is there no physician here? Why then has the health of my poor people not been restored? So one of the groups that is that prodigal that we need to kill the cat and calf for, have the dancing party for, is that group. So many generations think differently, react differently. And the question is, are we going to move off the map, make changes that will help us go out and reach them? And if we don't, we'll just continue to be the shrinking church, which is happening in so many places around the Western world. Amen.